I hope your shock absorbers are working well, because otherwise you're going to find a bumpy road ahead of you. And we design these things to make the ride more comfortable. In your body, your knees do the same sort of job as they pound the pavement or as they run. And all sorts of parts of your body go to make it all work correctly. And trust me, when they're not working correctly, as some of you probably already know, it's very quick to tell you. Emotionally, women far more than men have realized this, that the shock absorbers are the friends around you that you can sit and chat about matters. And while men may just want to try and solve everything, you find women are wise enough just to need to express them. And because they're willing to do that, they have this emotional shock absorber, which men just seem to deny themselves. So maybe wisdom to guys to change that would be a good thing. But spiritually, the shock absorber that God gives us is our faith. It allows us to adjust to a new set of circumstances that we might find ourselves in. And just like a shock absorber takes a bit of time to kick into effect, that when something happens in your life which catches you off guard, your faith absorbs that and eventually settles you back into the new equilibrium. It allows you to do that. And I want you to consider that about your faith today, is how has it helped you deal with various parts of changes or challenges to your life? So as we're considering that, I'd like you to think about, what time is it now? It's 10:43. What were you doing a couple of hours ago? What? I'm not asking you to answer, by the way. Just think to yourself. I don't really want to know what you're doing. But a couple of hours ago, you know, 10 to 8, what were you doing? I mean, some of you, depending on what your age group were, and probably still lying in bed, but what were you doing 2 hours ago, and how would you have dealt with it had a whacking great angel suddenly appeared right next to where you were? Mary is suddenly challenged on her future perceptions. Because we see her response, and it is without doubt amazing. But we often don't really consider, what was this, I think she's around 15, 16 year old, we estimate. What would this young girl do when she knows she's about to be betrothed? She knows that in the future she's going to get married. Is she at this point planning it through? Has she got expectations of what her bridal day will be? Is she excited to see her mum and dad happy with her and her new in-laws, gathering all the family, all the big celebrations, 2 or 3 days it would have gone on for, how she would have dressed herself up, what would have happened? Has these thoughts going on in her mind? I'm sure they would have been. When suddenly an angel turns and says, you are the person chosen to carry the Messiah. And because of that, you will become pregnant. And your whole future life will shift and change. Now, they were desiring for the Messiah to come. They wanted the Messiah to be there. But I don't think any woman within Israel thought that's how it was going to happen. They just thought their son would be designated the Messiah. Not they would have this completely new way of conceiving. She's challenged about what her future is going to be. And she responds amazingly. She responds by going, whatever the Lord says, I am his handmaiden. I will do what he asks. This is a 15 or 16 year old. Bang, an angel turns up, tells you what's going to happen, and you say yes. She risks her marriage, her good name, and possibly her life, but she affirms God's plan anyway. And then we look at Joseph. Joseph, who is a good man, has found out that his bride-to-be is pregnant. Now, we don't know how that happened, but one assumes that somewhere along the line, Mary has to tell her parents. Her parents have to tell the in-laws. The in-laws have to tell Joseph. This is what happens when you've got arranged marriages. You and I, we come from a Western culture. We're used to hanging around with our girlfriends who eventually become our fiancés, who eventually become our wives. You go from, if you're the older groups around you, you court. Now you date or you hang out or whatever you might call it. But in cultures where you have arranged marriages, you don't have days and days just hanging around with your future boyfriend, your future fiancé. You have arranged times when you get to see them. So this information is passed through. Joseph finds out. And the only indication he has, of course, is she's pregnant and that what that implies. And so he's considering this. And he considers it all. And he decides in his wisdom to divorce her quietly. Now, you and I divorce. But when they've been betrothed, it needs an official divorce from their perspective to say it's no longer going to go ahead. I'm going to respect her enough to be able to do it quietly without embarrassing her any further and without embarrassing any of the families involved any further. That's a courageous act. That's a loving and caring act. He could have gone far worse and could have hung Mary out to dry, but he decided not to. And it's interesting, as my wife pointed out when we were chatting about this, that God waited until he'd made this internal decision before informing him. Not after, he could have told Joseph beforehand, but he didn't. He waited for Joseph to come to this righteous decision and say, I will treat Mary well, even though personally I have been hurt. He waited until then before he informed him that what has happened with Mary is part of God's plan. And you're involved in this, Joseph. And so in two cases here, one first with Mary and then with Joseph, we see the shock of a change of their life because God has intervened and their faith cushioning that to say, how do we respond? Mary instantaneously, and to Joseph's credit, she got an angel directly. And then Joseph, when explained to him, also goes forward. And the same things that Mary is facing, he would now face with her together. Possible ostracization, casting out, being judged. Their faith is tested, and like a shock absorber, comes into play and brings them back to the equilibrium of the new plan of God. But what I want to say is faith doesn't exist in a vacuum. And we need to consider what it is about the life of Mary and Joseph which allowed them to adapt so well. And I believe faith isn't one giant leap. It's lots of tiny stepping stones. And where you take the courage to take the next stepping stone, God might just widen the gap slightly for the one afterwards. And so on, and so on, and so on. Until you find long-term believers in God who just look at situations so entirely different to those who are new in the faith and can see God's plan within things and kind of go, that's where he's going. And we see with Mary and Joseph that a life which has been modeled on what they've been taught, how they've had the scriptures revealed to them, how they've carried that out in their life, demonstrates their faith when put to the test. But this wasn't given to two people who never turned up to listen to the scriptures. This wasn't given to people who failed to turn up to go down to the temple when required. No, this was given to two people who had faith and deep faith in God. And because they had done the regular things, the humdrum, sometimes seemingly boring things, they had developed a deep intrinsic faith which allowed them to deal with the shock of what happens in life. And I want to sum it up this way. In the darkness, remember what you learnt in the light. Just hold on to that. In the darkness, remember what you learnt in the light, because that's what faith does for you. When we're going through life and things are going well, and Lord willing, that is for most of us most of the time, we can learn about God and say, this is how God is, this is who he cares for us, this is the things about his character, and then suddenly things go wrong. And then those things go wrong, our faith needs to kick in, and it becomes very, very real. But we remember in those darker times what it is we learnt about in the light. Now, just consider what Mary and Joseph have done for you and I. Mary and Joseph have interacted with God, and the incarnation of Jesus into this earth through Mary and with the consent of Joseph brings the goodness of God into a whole new dimension. Because of their faith, the goodness of God interacts with their life and then becomes an opportunity for us to see the kindness of God. And I use those words very, very differently. The goodness of God is when people of faith have responded to God's actions. The kindness of God is when people who don't have faith just take what God's given and goes, thanks very much. But kindness becomes an opportunity if people want to delve deeper to say, I want to see goodness. Kindness just requires us to say yes, nothing else. We don't have to do anything. It's just given to you. But goodness means you need to respond. And because of the faith of Mary and Joseph and their response to God's goodness, the Messiah is brought into the world and God changes the whole situation. And you and I have been an opportunity to see the kindness of God in our life, the Spirit speaking to us. Let me give you another example. Different Joseph, many, many years before. Joseph has been given, when he's in Egypt, and he's been given this dream, and Pharaoh's given the dream, he interprets it, and he says it's going to be 7 years of plenty, 7 years of problems. And so wisely, smart move by Pharaoh, he says, well, I'm appointing you to do something about it. So he builds these huge barns. So during the 7 years of plenty, they stack it away. And during the 7 years of want, he's okay. The people aren't, by the way, because they don't listen to him. They could have, but they chose not to. And so they all end up in poverty, but they could have chosen to listen to him. But the reason that Joseph did that was because he trusted God all the way through. And I'm not going to go through the life of Joseph now, but there's many, many times that his faith is tested and it kicks into play. And eventually we see that as God works his goodness through, it eventually culminates with his own family coming back and asking for food. And him there before them, they're unaware of who he is, basically can speak to them. And eventually when they are reunited, he says to them, God did this specifically. I was sent ahead. I can see it now. And so the whole of the Israelite people are brought down and saved. Why? Because the faith of Joseph and the goodness of God interact, and so a kindness is extended to the Israeli people. What was it that Mary and Joseph believed? What was it that Joseph in Egypt believed about God that many other people around them didn't? What faith did they have about the knowledge of the character of God that allowed them to respond in such a way that the goodness of God came out as an act of kindness to those non-believing around them? What is it you believe about God? What is it we know about God's character that our faith is developed such that when shocks happen, that we can still see the goodness of God working through it and saying, aha, I can see his plan even in the darkness. Can you see the plan when your first love tells you they no longer want to date you anymore? Can you see the plan when the job you love just disappears? Can you see the plan when your body starts to fail you and long-term sickness is found? Can you see the plan when there's death of family members, especially children, when that happens? Can you see the plan when others deny or act contrary to their Christian claims? The list goes on. Each and every one of us will be challenged about where is God got something going here? What are you going to do when your faith is challenged and needs to kick in? I mentioned before the time when Rebecca had a brain aneurysm and we faced the possibility and then the actuality of brain surgery with her. And one of the concerns, obviously, with brain surgery is that the person going in and the person coming out can be radically different personality-wise. And it's a big concern. When you face it and you say, where is God in this? And that's just one of our many things we've faced. And I know that many times each and every one of you have faced things. And I want you to consider, what is it you believe about God that allows you to adapt, to see your faith in action, and to allow you to see the goodness of God in your life? A friend of mine, their son became a drug addict. And by their own definition, they never would have wanted that. They never desired to do that. And they struggled long and hard for about 5 or 6 years before he eventually kicked it. And in talking to them, they said it was an awful time. But the one thing they took from it was they were given opportunity to speak into the lives of parents whose children were in the same manner. And they wished other people could have done that instead. But they acknowledged that God had that ability through them to speak into the lives and say, we understand God and this is how it's helping us deal with this particular situation. And so they could speak into the lives of many non-believers and say, this is the kindness of God. I'm telling you about how he's working through my life. Would you like to know more? How do you deal with the things that matter? I contend that faith is God's goodness being worked out in a believer's life. And for those of you who like making bread, you know, when you start to knead the dough by hand, none of this automatic stuff. You know, you go in and, you know, it gets sticky and it gets all over your fingers. That's what faith's about. Getting in there in the nitty-gritty. That's why we hear when we've been reading these passages and it says, come down and be part of who we are. Don't just waft around in the ether away from us. Come and know us, Lord. Live a life like we're living. Mary and Joseph are the first recorded interactions with the new inbreaking of God's kingdom, of the transcendent God becoming tangible, becoming personal, becoming incarnate, getting sticky. They're the first to react. They're the first affected. But their faith sets the tone. Trusting response despite personal cost. You know, they aren't blessed financially. The King of all kings, his earthly parents don't end up having a cruisy life. They don't earn billions and billions of denarii. But it's recorded by her cousin Elizabeth that Mary is blessed of all women. Because they said yes and their faith kicked in. And as they demonstrated a believer's faith, we, as all those who'd gone astray, like those sheep, ones who'd walked as far away as possible, allowed that kindness to come through, and therefore we had opportunity to respond. And if it wasn't for their yes, we would still be in eternal darkness. A believer's faith becomes God's kindness demonstrated in non-believers' lives. And as Mary and Joseph has in our lives, we are now demonstrating to other people in their lives. And that's where it comes to, how are you carrying the same truth forward? Are you willing to talk about the ups and downs of your life? Are you willing to share some of the hurts that you've been through and that God's walked alongside with you? Are you willing to carefully and with wisdom share of who you are to those you're in contact with, to say that I understand the pain you're in, this is who God is in my life and he's helped me in these ways, would you like to know more? But you need an openness to do that. You need a recognition to do that. You need a willingness to do that. But you also need a theology which says that is important. Because if Mary and Joseph had said no, we'd be in trouble. And maybe if you and I say no, there's others who won't be reached. Or I should say won't be reached by us, because I think God will find a way. But he's preparing you. He's preparing you and I to say, these are the parts of our lives I want you to speak of. I'm not saying you should come and enunciate it to everybody you ever meet. I'm saying you should use it and say, I understand what you're going through. And there are many things, and I could name them, but you'll know what's upon your heart. How are you using that to speak into people's lives and say, listen, I get it. Life's tough. But this is where my faith cushions things. This is how believing in Jesus Christ changes my life. Can we, like Mary and Joseph, continue with the response which says, we're willing, Lord, even though it might cost us personally, to serve your greater goodness in my life, and therefore by being willing to share your kindness to others? Use that as you will. As you reread these passages, can I encourage you to think, Lord, what is it about my life that you want me to share? Who could I encourage? Who could I point and say, this is God. Come know him. Thank you.